Hello, this is Nicholas Shannon Colmack, Managing Editor of the Vancouver Business Journal, and welcome to the latest installment of our VBJ podcasts. Today, our latest Project Roundtable discussion, and we're shining the light on the Northwest Association for Blind Athletes, which celebrates its five-year anniversary this month. To discuss the organization's growth and how the business community has played a role in that, I'm joined by Executive Director Billy Henry, Board Member Eric Selden, who also works at U.S. Bank, and Board Member Jamie Dotson, who's also with IQ Credit Union. So first of all, thank you all for joining me today.
Thank you, Nick.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Before we get into the business side of things, Billy, I'd like you to talk a little bit about starting the organization 5 years ago. Because I think it's really a fascinating story for those that haven't heard it yet.
I guess 5 years ago, May 5th, 2007, I was 15 at the time, and I called Nick Wilkes, who's the president of our board, on a Saturday when he was doing something else, but I always say he was fishing, and said, you know, hey, I've got this idea to start this organization, and I kind of laid out kind of what my vision was for, and I said, hey, do you want to work with me in making this happen? So the next day, I got a friend of mine to lend us $50, and we incorporated the next day, and then went to our first competition a month later. So it just kind of evolved since then.
That's great. So how did this idea first come to you to do something like this?
You know, looking around at some other individuals who are blind and visually impaired, you know, both youth and adults, we kind of saw a lack of opportunities there, and said, you know, how can we help other individuals who are visually impaired continue to participate in sports and physical activity? So we kind of, you know, wanted to provide an outlet to make those opportunities possible.
Mm-hmm. So give the listeners a sense of what the organization does now to assist these individuals.
So we have around 1,000 individuals of all ages and ability levels who are blind and visually impaired from right here in Clark County, all the way across Washington, Oregon, Idaho, and Montana. Because of the scope of where we're at, we do a ton of stuff here locally, but we also do stuff also host events across the region. We have five programs. Just real quick, our sports outreach program, which gets students who are blind and visually impaired involved in sports and physical fitness for the first time. These students oftentimes have never participated in any type of physical education curriculum. Approximately 70% of students across the United States have never participated in any type of physical education. So our sports outreach program really helps to get those students involved in sports and physical activity for the first time. Our second program is our sports teams program. That helps get students and adults with visual impairments participating in sports and physical activity on a consistent level. We provide weekly opportunities across the region for them to continue to stay fit, build muscular strength, team camaraderie, and have an ongoing outlet to participate in sports. Our third program is our sports adaptations program. So what that does is provide sports adaptations for students, parents, adults, community-based organizations on how do we adapt sports for people who are blind and visually impaired. It may be something as simple as a guide runner for track, or an adaptation for swimming, or powerlifting, or yoga. So we get a ton of those requests each year. Our fourth program is our scholarships and grants program. We award grants and scholarships to individuals and teams to participate in local, regional, national, and international competitions. We just awarded two grants in the last 3 months for a team to participate in the Portland to Coast event, and then also the Portland Rose Festival as a Dragon Boat team. So that's our fourth program. Our fifth program is our Increasing Visibility program, using sports as a portal to increase awareness about the abilities of people who are blind and visually impaired in the community. And I think that the primary purpose of that program is to educate the community of, you know, basically these are the abilities of people who are blind and visually impaired. So that people are more aware, so when people who are blind, you know, try to go and seek employment opportunities and seek to get involved in their community, people are a little bit more aware of what people who are blind are capable of.
Mm-hmm. So you guys are really transforming lives here.
It's definitely been a a growth for us. We served 6 students in 2007 and 1,000 this year that we'll serve.
Wow. And again, how many states are you currently in?
Washington, Oregon, Idaho, and Montana.
That's great. So, and then you, what the process of putting a board together, and when did that happen, and how did you reach out to members of the community to do that?
You know, I think our first 2 years as an organization, we were kind of finding out who we were and what we wanted to be. So to be honest, our first board was anybody who I could get to be on the founding documents. Those folks were just friends of mine. Anyone 18 or over, I said, come on, be the incorporators, and they did it for us. So for the first 2 years, I think we just built the organization, and you know, like any business or nonprofit, we had some road bumps. I mean, from 2007 to 2010, we ran all our whole powerlifting program out of my garage.
Wow.
So that was a big step for us to move, you know, from running all the operations out of my house into our office.
Mm-hmm.
My parents, and I tell this to people all the time, either your stuff's going or you're going. Well, I wasn't ready to leave yet.
Yeah, no kidding. Mm-hmm. So Jamie and Eric, how did you two find out about Billy's organization, and how did you get involved as a board member?
Well, I attended an event at the Washington State School for the Blind, Feel the Music. Wasn't that it, Billy?
I think so.
And Billy was one of the greeters at the event, and we struck up a conversation, and I was interested in hearing what he was talking about, and he's an awesome networker. And he said, can you take a few minutes and come visit me? And we did that, and he talked about his program, and then I started hosting the board at IQ Credit Union.
Mm-hmm.
And then sitting and listening to these young kids, they're just so passionate about what they're doing. And I've served on a lot of boards, but the passion and the drive that they had, I had to get involved. And I told Billy, I said, I'm on board if you'll have me. And came on. These guys do a lot of work to promote what they're passionate about. It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah, I also met Billy at a networking event. It's actually a Vancouver Business Journal event where I met Billy, and he had a booth set up displaying some of the tools or things they use for some of the games for goalball specifically, and I played with the ball a little bit and then talked with Billy and kind of got to know a little bit more about the organization, and it really clicked for me. My father lost one of his eyes as a child. He still was able to participate in sports, but we ended up having the same PE coach. His high school PE coach was my junior high PE coach years mm-hmm. later, and informed me how great my dad could have been had he had both of his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And so me being a college athlete and having the physical sports background, I knew how important it was for me to participate in sports and the kind of lifestyle and things that it brought to me, the confidence. And I thought it was a perfect fit for me to get involved with the organization that, you know, does things that I'm very passionate about.
So. Mm-hmm. That's a great point. I mean, you think about, you know, PE class and the sports teams that you participate in growing up, and it's huge. I mean, you know, confidence, like you mentioned, you know, just socializing. I mean, talk about a huge impact that it has on a young person's life.
I think what Eric was talking about, too, I grew up being very physically active and involved in sports, and
mm-hmm.
it would have been so hard not to be involved in that. And Billy and Nick were talking to me, telling me that, you know, they'd go to PE and they'd be involved in what was happening, but then as soon as the sports activity started, they would be sent to the bench
mm-hmm.
to just wait while everybody else participated, and that really got to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of the things that we see is especially with students, if a student's not participating, that really creates a barrier from that student and the rest of their peers, because people, especially in, you know, elementary school and middle school, sometimes look at somebody who's different and don't talk to them, and that,
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, that's not necessarily because they're trying to be prejudiced. I think it's just because they don't understand.
Sure.
So if we can get the student involved in sports, involved in that PE class, even at some level, even in the same room, I mean, you know, whatever level that may be, then those peers say, well, they're doing the same thing as I am, and they're just like I am, except they're visually impaired. And that carries on throughout their whole life. And that's also part of what we do through our awareness programs, is talking to peers. We partnered with the American Red Cross, the Southwest Washington Youth Council, in I believe it was February, and we hosted an event. We showed all them what it was like to, you know, participate as a visually impaired person in sports. So we were able to educate 60 high school students about the abilities of people who are blind and visually impaired, so that if they ever have a blind student that's in their class that participates, they'll be a little bit more apt to understand what it's like to be visually impaired.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about the challenges that you have faced forming this nonprofit and trying to grow and get the message out and educate. What are some of the challenges that you've been faced with, and what have you done to overcome some of them?
You know, I think that our biggest challenge, and Jamie and Eric, feel free to jump in here too, is probably sustainability in terms of growing our programs to the point where we can, you know, serve 1,000 people, mm-hmm. you know, adequately and efficiently with diversified revenue. And that's something I've been really spending a lot of time on lately, because we don't charge our students for our programs. That wouldn't work. We don't have an endowment, so we rely off 100% philanthropy. And you know, in a tough economy, it's hard to raise the money to pay staff and to, you know, travel to events. I mean, we're a lean organization. We're not staying in 5-star hotels, but it's hard to build that sustainability. And that's something that as a board we're working on, and I'm working on diligently to kind of diversify our revenue stream, and, you know, figure out how, if it's going to be 100% philanthropy, how we can initiate a plan to do some savings and maybe eventually, you know, get some money off some interest and do some other stuff to get different pieces of the pie. Mm-hmm. Eric, I know you've been working with me on that too.
No, definitely. I think one of the challenges is recognition. Obviously, we're still young, growing. There's a lot of nonprofits out there that people can support. Billy's done a great job. He's present at almost every event there is out there. I consistently hear people say, I saw Billy at this event, or I was mm-hmm. here and I talked to Billy about the organization and I want to help you guys, and that's been great. But we really need to find people that are like-minded like us, that have similar, you know, identities, similar goals and agendas, you know, other sports programs that are out there that want to branch out into different markets and, you know, possibly assist us, or, you know, vision, you know, doctors, you know, people out there that have a passion about what we already do. So one of the things we really want to do is connect with those people and, you know, combine our forces, our power, and be able to grow the organization to help as many people as possible.
Mm-hmm. The community has stepped up in a big way mm-hmm. to help in many, many areas. And, I mean, I attribute that a lot to Billy and Nick out there pounding the pavement and inviting people to the office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those things where I think that we're continuing to grow, and anytime you're the, you know, I think that other people that have, you know, been involved in starting an organization, you know, you always want things to evolve faster than what they do. But I really think we've grown our revenue every single year, substantially every single year. Mm-hmm. So I mean, obviously I'd like the budget to be, you know, $5 million, but it's not.
Sure. Yeah.
But it's growing, and you know, we grew from a couple years ago, you know, $22,000 to $43,000 in revenue, and this year it'll be $43,000 to over $70,000. So I mean, that's significant growth right there. So I'm happy, but I'm always, you know, trying to work towards, like Eric said, new partnerships. We've been partnering recently, working on different partnerships with a lot of the school districts. Mm-hmm. They're natural partners for us. Mm-hmm. Not just school districts here locally, but you know, statewide, other agencies that are serving the blind. I've been working a lot with different agencies recently on how we can pool some resources to, you know, make the most use of our money. So that's something that we haven't really done in the past that we're starting to. So I'm kind of excited about where that can go.
So talk about the business community support in a support role. Obviously, this community is known for being philanthropic. So what is your impression of how the business community has played a role in the growth of your organization?
No, it's been huge. We like I said earlier, we're funded 100% through philanthropy. So, business support over the last 3 years has grown. It's grown at a sustainable rate. And people have just, when we ask to help, if they can't help with one thing, or for instance, if they can't sponsor the auction, maybe they can donate an auction item. I mean, the business community in Southwest Washington has been huge for us. Jamie, do you?
Vancouver Business Journal's
yeah,
been
that's right.
probably the leader giving us the attention and getting the name out there and supported every event we've ever had. It's just been amazing.
So as members of the business community, why do you feel it's important for a business to be supportive of this type of organization?
Well, at IQ Credit Union, our mission is improving the lives of children.
Mm-hmm.
So it fell right in with our philanthropy of giving, and our employees are expected to get out into the community, work, volunteer. We're involved in many, many different activities, and this fell right in with our mission, and it was just a slam dunk, easy one to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What would you say, Erica, why is it important for a business to take a role in this sort of thing?
Well, I think it's important, Jamie kind of talked about earlier, a lot of us have had those experiences participating in sports and building the confidence. And that's one of the things that that this organization helps, those blind and visually impaired individuals do, is build the confidence to go out and look for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Go out and be active members in the community. Mm-hmm. And without everyone participating in the growth of the community and business, then we don't all succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And so by giving to this organization, the businesses will get a return. Those visually impaired people have opportunity to get that confidence, get the jobs, make money, go back and spend it and support the community members that supported us. So it turns out to be a big circle of just helping everybody to improve the community for good. So I think that's why people should support the organization.
Billy, don't you have some statistics on where you're going to talk about that?
I was just going to mention that. So 70% of people who are blind are unemployed. Then additionally, 70% of 56,000 school-aged children who are blind and visually impaired have never participated in any type of physical education curriculum.
Hmm.
So that's huge. I mean, you first hear those numbers, it's kind of daunting, and it's really true.
Mm-hmm.
To give you an example, we do events. Sometimes at our events, we get anywhere from, within our sports outreach program, anywhere from 10 students to 45 students at an event we had in November. And I heard from one teacher that said, this student has been looking forward to this for 3 months. That's all it was a 6-year-old student. That's all they were talking about for 3 months. I mean, and things like that. It's we want to be able to provide those opportunities ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't just want to be able to have that student have 3 or 4 events a year. We want to be able to provide the resources to have them every day that they're in PE class, they can be involved.
Mm-hmm.
So
Billy gets emails from all over the world.
Yeah.
Coaches, teachers, parents asking him how to adapt and how to teach the program, and it's amazing that just the connection and people reaching out, and then the parents and the students after the events, we get just letters that make you cry.
Yeah.
That it was like the best experience of their life. Mm. And it's funny, but the Billy and the board members, they come back probably more moved than the kids. They're just
mm-hmm.
it's pretty awesome.
I was in we also cover Montana. I was in Montana visiting my grandparents, And I had a teacher of the visually impaired call me and say, "Hey, do you want to come out to the school in, you know, eastern Montana on the Montana North Dakota border?" And I said, "I'm not doing anything. I might as well." And we were able to help one blind student at that school. We drove 2 hours, you know, there and 2 hours back. Well, we were able to help, you know, one blind student and talk to his mother, talk to the physical education teacher about how we can get him more involved in their physical education class. But also, we were able to teach the entire school. The school had, you know, 60 kids, K through 12. We taught the entire school how to play goal ball. And they were all blindfolded. And they had to completely rely on their, you know, their sense of hearing and then their sense of touch to figure out where they're at on the floor. But they all came away saying, you know, we really understand more what this student was facing. Mm-hmm. And then they all said, you know, we didn't really get it before. Now we get it because we experienced it. So for me, that was, that happened in March, and that was one of the best events, even though we only helped one student, mm-hmm. just because we got such an outpouring of saying, well, now we finally understand. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe, you know, one student, but impacting an entire school like that.
Yeah.
That's pretty great. So when you look ahead, you know, a year, a couple years down the road, what do you foresee happening at the organization?
You know, right now, actually on Thursday, we are having our first strategic planning retreat. So the board, I've been working with stakeholders over the last 3 months, getting input, meeting with folks around the community, saying, you know, our different partners and participants. And we're having our first strategic planning meeting on Thursday, and I think that'll really help guide the organization. I'd like to see us providing ongoing opportunities across the region on a more consistent basis. Mm-hmm. For instance, we're already getting to that point. This last summer we had four events. This summer we have 15. For students, primarily a lot of them are for students who are blind and visually impaired in Clark County, Portland metro area, which is exciting for us. And then also just build, like I was saying earlier, building sustainability, you know, hiring, you know, making some staff positions a little bit more permanent, and hiring others to help come out and do outreach and help with administrative tasks and kind of diversifying some work. Eric, did you have?
No, I think that kind of really touches on what we're looking to do, is just continue to grow, continue to reach more people. We're definitely looking for more volunteer opportunities for our high school age kids, as well as college students that are looking to, you know, beef up their resumes for school applications or mm-hmm. jobs, or just to help out. You know, we could really use the help. Definitely a growing organization, and there's a lot of needs that need to be met. And if there are anybody out there that, you know, can spare 30 minutes, an hour, you know, a day, a week, you know, a month, you know, any time that you have to come by the office, and hang out just for a little while, maybe make a phone call or, you know, send an email or just file some papers for us, would really be helpful with, because right now we are lean. We have, you know, mainly Billy and Nick managing the entire office and the outreach programs by themselves. So this is my call out to everybody who's listening to, you know, give us a call. We could really use the help.
One thing that we've been trying to do is just, like Eric said, just get more volunteers in the office. I've had volunteers that have started to help with mailings, and that's been a huge help, and looking for interns. And we're also setting up some new committees. We just did our fund development committee, our finance committee, and possibly a programs committee in the future. So we're looking for folks to, you know, want to be involved, maybe as board members, committee members, or volunteers. So we're love to talk to anybody that's, you know, interested in helping out.
Great. So where do people need to go to find out more information?
We just launched a new website, and it's now completely updated. So www.nwabasinboya.org. Or you can call me at the office, 360-448-7254.
Great. Well, thank you all for coming in today and sharing all the exciting news that's going on with the organization. It really is exciting. You mentioned some of those statistics about unemployment level and the lack of participation, and you can definitely see a huge opportunity. So, gosh, keep up the good work. And
thank you, Nick.
Yeah, hopefully we can, you know, do this again down the road, and you can continue to tell listeners out there how you guys have been growing and continuing to change lives.
Cool. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Well, this has been another VBJ podcast. Thanks for listening, and until next time, this is Nicholas, Shannon, Colmack.